It's time for Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of cannabis, and have your specific questions answered by emailing jennifer@cannabama.com or text or call 343-0106. And now, for all things cannabis in Alabama, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm your host, Jennifer Boozer Stewart. We are here live on FM Talk 106.5 every Monday night at 7 p.m. for over 6 years now. We're also live streaming from YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X, and LinkedIn. So if you're watching us, please hit that share button and share us with your friends. We've got a great show tonight. I want to say before I get into the nitty-gritty, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And I was looking for, you know, like, what do I want to wear on Thanksgiving Day? And I had this idea to make a t-shirt for a long time, like a couple years now. And I sat down this morning and I made it. So I'm going to stand up and hopefully you'll be able to see it. But it is our illustrious governor. High stepping turkeys, y'all. So I hope everybody gets a giggle out of that. And these may or may not be for sale very soon. I'm pretty proud of it. Pretty proud of it. I'd wear it. I'm obviously wearing it. You need to wear it. Anyway, this is a week that we give thanks. And I know that based on the last year of shows, you might look at me and think, maybe I don't really have anything to be thankful for, but you would be wrong. I have lost everything. Everything. Things I don't even want to talk about. But I still have a husband that loves me and healthy, beautiful children. And I have all the opportunity in the world to now figure out how to reinvent myself while I continue to fight for this industry. And I'm incredibly grateful for a lot of things. And I hope that that makes everybody else who may be going through a hard time feel a little better. You're not alone in your boat. God knows us. He sees us. And he knows our future. And I just wanted to say, be thankful. Even if you have to really, really think about it, find something to be thankful about because, you know, breath in your lungs, start there. God is good, and we're going to all be okay. So I hope you enjoy Thanksgiving with your family. And I want to go ahead and get into the nitty-gritty of this stuff because, holy crap, the last time we did the show, they had just voted to table this provision in the continuing resolution, and that continuing resolution to open the government back up did pass with the basically it's a de facto ban language. On November 14th, Congress voted to reopen the government, and Mitch McConnell, who took almost $900,000, by the way, from the alcohol industry, he basically snuck a de facto hemp ban into the continuing resolution, and of course it passed because nobody wants the government to be closed, and it's really bad. Real quick, I'll go over the highlights. You know, we've been dealing with, in the 2018 Federal Farm Bill, 0.3% limit on Delta-9 THC by dry weight. They have basically changed the definition to 0.3% total THC. That means the THCA, any type of THC, Delta 9, Delta 8, Delta 10, all the trace elements that are types of THC. And then there is any cannabinoid that acts like THC, and then anything that has potential THC, which means seeds. We know that hemp seeds do not have any cannabinoid content in them. Until you put them in the ground and you start to grow them. And when the plant starts to grow and develop, things like CBG and CBGA and things like that, all the cannabinoids start to form once the seed is planted. So the seeds themselves do not have cannabinoids. But any potential THC means that even purchasing seeds would be illegal. And then there's a synthetics ban, and that is any cannabinoids that are synthesized or manufactured, even if they are identical to naturally occurring ones like Delta 8. And there is a strict 0.4 milligrams of THC per container. That means a topical cream that might have the 0.3% by dry weight, that would be illegal. Basically, the only products that might be available are isolate CBD products and CBG products. But if you can't buy seeds to plant them and grow, And the manufacturing of what you make isolate out of will be illegal. So it would basically ban everything. So Representative Nancy Mace, Thomas Massey, Zoe Lofgren, and James Baird have counterfiled House Resolution 6209 on November 20th. And that is just strictly to repeal the Section 781 in the CR that bans hemp. So it doesn't have any added legislation or suggestions or anything. It's just to repeal it because we were given 365 days from November 14th or November 12th, I'm not sure, to either become compliant or fight this. So we've already lost, you know, 10 days. And this is really bad. This is really bad. And I know that Senator Rand Paul is also working on some legislation that would remedy this situation as well. And so we really don't know what's going to happen. But what this means is 330,000 jobs across the United States, $28 billion in revenue, $13 billion of that is in payroll, and $1.5 billion of it is just taxes. 95% of products would be illegal, and even CBD with a trace of THC, broad spectrum and full spectrum, would all be illegal. And then it's going to push consumers in states without legal cannabis to the black market. I mean, I don't know if y'all have noticed in Alabama, just in the last couple of weeks, there have been massive uptick in large quantity marijuana busts. You know, one was 95 pounds. You know, it's just an insane amount of marijuana busts happening around the state of Alabama. And it's not from business owners. It's from drug dealers, people who are trying to sell cannabis that is illegal. And I guess they saw the opportunity to take their customers back or to meet the needs that aren't going to be met anymore. And they're busting them all over. So I think that's proof that the illicit market was handed our customer base on a silver platter, because people are going to get what they want no matter what the law says. We, you know, you can look at anything and prove that. So it's a really bad situation, but we do have plans to fight this, you know. And then there's HB 445, which needs to be repealed. HB 445, we have the ability as a state, we're one of 40 states that has a pilot program, which means, just like medical cannabis, even though it's federally illegal, the state of Alabama has a legal medical cannabis program and made its own rules. They can do that as well for hemp. So, but HB 445 has a line in it that says that any federal legislation that follows would supersede state law. So even though we have the ability to have our own program here in Alabama and keep it at 10, even at 10 milligrams, the 10 milligrams that put us out of business initially, you know, those would all be illegal. Everything that Alabama just went through and fought against and ultimately lost, that is great compared to this federal stuff. Sadly, none of it's good, but it's much better than what the feds are trying to shove down our throats. And so, but HB 445 says that any new federal laws would undo state law and they would follow that. So we have to repeal HB 445 either way. We have to. And there is an effort to do that underway. When the feds did what they did, it made it harder, but we still have a good shot because the consumers, the voters in Alabama are upset. They're upset. And if we can convince everybody to register to vote and actually get out and vote, this 12%, 20% voter turnout is not acceptable. It's an election year. We have people running for every office across the state from governor on down, and we have a choice. The great equalizer needs to be that voting booth, and we have a say. I'm encouraging my listeners and everyone I speak to be single-issue voters. You know, it shouldn't matter if the dot is red or blue. Vote green. Vote green. Vote for the people who openly and publicly support cannabis legalization and the hemp industry, because that's the only way we're going to get anything done. So I would encourage you to do that. And please, the Alabama Cannabis Coalition is actively vetting these candidates and the incumbents. And we are very clearly letting people know who is a prohibitionist and who is not. So you know how to vote if this is an issue for you. And there's so many of you, you know, that this is the lifeline that you needed and you've been able to have legally and easily and safely. You know, all of the propaganda on the federal level is even worse than in the state. And none of these things that we hear people talking about railing against the hemp industry for, I've never seen any of those things happen. I've never seen these products that they're talking about that make people sick or that are laced. It's just not a thing. When we come back, we're going to round out Veterans Month. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now, with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, everybody. Our guest tonight is Jason Weigel. Jason is a Cullman, Alabama native, raised in what many call the Hallmark Town of America. I did not know that about Cullman. He went on to serve in the United States Air Force with 6 tours across Afghanistan and Iraq. After returning home with level 4 PTSD, Jason found that cannabis was one of the only effective tools he had for managing the invisible wounds of war. He has been fighting for veterans' right to access medical cannabis ever since. Despite Alabama voters approving legalization years ago, the state still hasn't opened a single dispensary. And recent legislation like HB 445 continues to block access for those who need it most, including veterans. After living in Louisiana, where he legally held a medical cannabis card since 2018, Jason moved back home to Alabama determined to speak out, advocate, and push for real change. His story reflects the ongoing fight for compassion, access, and common sense cannabis rights in Alabama. Jason, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, let's get into it, honey. Tell us about your background of service, your military service. Give us a little idea of what that was like for you, what you did.
Okay. In good old days, 1997, I went into the Air Force as a young man. I was 18 years old, just graduated high school. I went as what they call in the Air Force a 2-ECO, which is a combat communications specialist. At the time, that's what I was trained to do. About 2 years later, I cross-trained into what was actually combat communication, what they call combat controllers. Mm-hmm. I was tapped out to that. I was Airman of the Year at Barksdale. I was step promoted to staff sergeant. So I made staff at a young age. I was like 20 years old. I was already a staff sergeant. So they went ahead and they tapped me out to be a combat controller. I went ahead and went to combat controller school for about a couple of years. By the time we got out of there, the war started. And I worked with other guys, PJs, which is pararescue guys, and TAC-D guys. We went in and we set up bases. We set up bases in Afghanistan and Iraq all over the place. So they would call us. We would go in, jump in, put out all our stuff, and set the base up so guys could come in and do their job and bring assets and land assets on the ground. So.
All right. Well, what was it like coming back home after those years of service? You know, I just read that you had level 4 PTSD. I didn't even know that they gave you different levels.
Yeah. When I first came home, from doing 6 years, I did back-to-back tours. So the first year I went was 2001, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Wow.
And they were all back-to-back 1-year tours. I would come home for maybe a couple months and then leave again.
Right.
So when I came home for my 6th tour, I was having a lot of issues.
Right.
So I went to medical. They put me on Lexapro. When they put me on Lexapro, I had problems. I had a lot of defiance problems. I had 9.5 years of good service, and all of a sudden, I went over the desk to get my first sergeant.
Yeah.
And they went court martialing me. I went through a lot of issues. There's a lot of bad things happened because they put me on these meds.
Right.
What happened was it was an SSRI. What people don't understand what SSRIs do, they change the chemicals in your brain.
Right.
The thing is, when you come home, you're not crazy. We have what's called trauma.
Right.
And they're trying to change the medical issues in our brain. It's not our brain that's messed up. We have trauma issues. That's totally different than
right.
what these SSRIs are meant to do.
Right.
So they put me on an SSRI. My brain did not like that.
Right.
So it was fighting against the drug. And I didn't know what was going on at the time. I was a young man. I was a young guy who just come back from 6 stores. I had no clue.
Right.
And so I wound up getting in trouble. I wound up getting out. Wound up 2 years fighting in Washington, D.C., get my honorable discharge. It was a long process. But in 2008, I went to see a buddy of mine. So basically, I went to see Michael, and when I went to see Michael up in Ohio, it's the first time I tried cannabis since high school.
Really?
In high school, it made me paranoid.
Right.
And I was very against it. Don't get me wrong, I was very against cannabis. And my whole time I was in the Air Force, I didn't do anything. I was against drugs, totally anything.
Most military guys say that to me, very much so.
Right, and that's exactly how it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I came home, it was like they put me on this drug, and I trust these doctors. You see what I'm saying?
Of course.
Get me on. So I go see Michael, and I'm talking to Michael, and he's smoking it, and I'm like, I'm not doing that, you know? And so I tried it. I went ahead and tried it, and I went from literally my brain doing this to this
mm-hmm.
to where I could focus.
Right.
And it was the first time since being home from war I could focus and be a normal person.
Right.
And it was wild because I had always thought that drug was horrible for you. It was bad for you. So
right.
I did research. I did 1 year of research before I even touched it again.
Wow.
And I came across a study that the Germans did. And they did a study where it coats your brain cells. And basically, I don't know if you know how cannabis works in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
But what it does is slows down the brain cells. My brain cells go really fast. So when it slows them down, I can think.
Right.
For some people that don't need it, if they're recreational users, they'll get that, hey, bro, how's it going?
Right, that typical stoner persona. Right,
totally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. For me, I medically need it, so it slows my brain down enough where I can think and assess things and
right.
assess situations.
Right.
So it actually helps me. So that is the effect that I found it helped me.
Right.
Then, I fought, I don't know if you got any more questions to ask, but basically what happened was I fought with all the medications they put me on. You know, I was on 26 different medications.
Right.
SSRIs.
Wow.
Prozac, Effexor, Prazosin, Mirtazapine, Nefazine, Xanax, and Clonopin.
Oh.
I was on antipsychotics, Abilify, Seroquel, Risperdal, Geodon, Lorazepam, Paracetamol, Olanzapine, Lorazepamine, and Lumateperone. I was on mood stabilizers. They had me on lithium and Depakote. They had me on for pain. They had me on Lortab. I itched. They put me on Percocet. And then I was also on Adderall for my ADHD.
My God.
So
you were on everything, just all the drugs.
They were putting me in because I would get on one, and 6 months later, I started having the PTSD issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so the levels of PTSD, back to that.
Yeah.
There's 4 levels.
Okay.
And the first level is intrusion and re-experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have intrusive thoughts, are you re-experiencing the situation?
Right.
That's level 1.
Okay.
Level 2 is arousal of reactivity.
Mm.
So that's basically anxiety.
Right.
Number 3 is avoidance. So what I'll do is I go into what I call I hermetize myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go into hiding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And number 4, you have negative changes in mood. You don't want to be touched. You don't want no one getting near you.
Right.
You just have very negative changes in mood. You're not yourself.
Right.
Now, that is for the DSM-4, which is the United States Medical Code. in the World Medical Code, the ICD-11, they have what's called CPTSD, which is coming for us next year, okay? Or I think 2027.
Complex.
Now, CPTSD has three other things that I also have, which is disruption in self. So, like, in controlling and regulating. So I have disruption in controlling and regulating my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Disruption in myself as far as my life, and then disruption in my social relationships.
Right.
So because all of those seven concepts, I have the highest level of PTSD that you can conceptually have.
Right.
So,
wow. Do you have flashbacks?
Like,
have you ever had a flashback?
As long as I take my cannabis, as long as I'm on my cannabis regimen, I'm fine.
Yeah.
If I get off my cannabis regimen, I have problems.
Yeah.
One big thing that we noticed, me and my wife, we went back and we looked at all the times I was on every single medication for the VA. And we compared that to every single time I got told with the law. And
then
every single one of them lied. So quickly.
Wow.
And that's crazy right there.
Yeah.
In my
well, what made you decide to try it? I mean, I know you said you went to visit a friend and he was smoking it and you were totally against it, but you tried it. Were you kind of at your wit's end? I mean, it sounds like, I've heard some stories, but that one, you named drugs I'd never even heard of, and I've been doing this a minute, and I've taken plenty of those medications myself before I discovered cannabis. And so but ultimately, was it that one experience that set you on the research path, or was it the research itself, or, a combination?
I've always been a very smart person in life. I graduated pretty high in my class, and I graduated with a lot of very smart people at Coleman High School. I had 4 degrees, went to college. Really loved going to college, studying. I had 2 computer science degrees, a degree in botany, and a degree in digital marketing.
Wow.
So I really loved going to school, and I really loved learning things. So in 2008, when I did this, and I realized, wow, that drug, that Lexapro and that Geodon they've had me on the last couple years that didn't work, and this right here has totally changed my life.
Right.
Wow. So I did what most people do. I went back home to Louisiana at the time where I was living, and I went to the street and I found some weed with some local, drug dealer.
Right.
And that's probably it. And it was a battle until I guess it was 2018 when it was 2017 when I talked to a representative Edward James from Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in the process of writing a bill called HB 579.
Yeah.
And I went to Louisiana Congress, and I spoke to him and told him the story.
Yeah. Hey, Jason, I'm so sorry to interrupt you. We got to go to a break. We're going to pick back up in Louisiana with Jason Weigel when we come back from the commercial break. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, everybody, to Sweet Home Cannabama. We're here live on FM Talk 106.5 every Monday night at 7 o'clock. We've been talking with Jason Weigel, who is a veteran from Coleman, Alabama. Jason, before we had to go to break, you had just started talking about how you came about qualifying for medical cannabis in Louisiana. So let's go back to that senator you just mentioned, and let's start from there.
Yeah, so Representative Edward James, so he started writing what was called HB 579. And so I went and spoke before the Louisiana Congress. It was around April 2017, right before all that started, right before it actually got passed. Me and 11 other guys, and we spoke about the things that had happened to us over there, the trauma we had experienced in front of those guys.
Right.
To hopefully get this thing written and passed.
Right.
Finally, in April 2018, it passed the House. May of 2018, it passed the Senate. And then August 1st, 2018, it went into effect. I was the first veteran in line to get a card.
Wow.
So it was crazy because there was only five conditions at the time that was on the list.
Really? Now, Louisiana is my home state, and I it's hard for me to keep up with Alabama, much less Louisiana, but I'm fascinated because you literally made history in Louisiana being the first veteran. That's exciting. I mean, how gratifying was that after you worked on the bill yourself to help pass it? How exciting was it when you got issued your medical card?
It was a great feeling because it was funny because I was sitting at the door of the place that gave the licenses at, and there was no one else there. The doctor shows up and they're like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I wanted to be the first one in line."
Yeah, so, I would so be
was,
too.
It was great. No one knew about it. No one even knew there was a medical program even for PTSD at the time. There was not even announced on the news. No, they kept it so hush.
Right. Would you believe after 4 years in Alabama, there's still plenty of people that don't realize we've passed medical and it's in the news all the time. That's the crazy part. So tell us about your first experience once you got that medical card in Louisiana. I mean, you went to a dispensary. I mean, what is it like there? I've been home to Louisiana. You know, my whole family lives there, and there I've seen the dispensaries and stuff, but I haven't really met anybody that is part of the program. So tell me a little bit about that.
It's changed a lot now since I got my card in 2018. It was first started with basically what Alabama started with, you know, or says it's supposed to start with, the topicals, the oils, and stuff like that.
Right.
Non-smokables.
Right.
Is what it started with to get the program started, which is great because I got the oil. That you put under the tongue was great.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't a problem with it.
Right. That's my preferred method as well.
I think it was around 2020 was when the smokables came. Now, I just visited there last weekend, actually. I went to Bossier City, Louisiana, and you can walk in with an out-of-state ID and buy whatever you want.
Really?
And it's wide open. Yeah, it's right off the interstate, off I-20. Right there in Bossier City, huge store. You can walk in with an out-of-state ID, get whatever you want.
That is
and
wild.
It's a dispensary.
That is awesome.
And yes, it's amazing. And that's how big it's changed there compared to here.
Well, right. Obviously, the state sees that the demand is definitely there. We know the demand is there. You know, we don't need a year of operation to know that the demand is there.
Well, and my biggest fight with the whole thing is, why are you limiting it to 0.03.
Right.
Why are you limiting the medicine that God created to serve us?
Right.
And that's the thing, you know, it's the medical properties of it that we have to really look at. And that's the thing that I'm looking at is the medical properties in it. Because for me, that's what it inhibits for me.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that there isn't people that could do it recreationally and it's not going to hurt them, because it's not.
Right.
I've done my research on that also.
Right.
I did research on the numbers for basically between cannabis, alcohol, and tobacco between kids.
Right.
Did you know that cannabis has killed zero people in the past year? Alcohol has killed 4,000 kids, and tobacco has killed 480,000 kids in this country.
Wow. Wow.
Underage.
That's insane.
And so we are literally limiting something that we could use as a cash crop and sell to other countries.
Right. Well, and in the beginning, it was a threat to, you know, big pharma and medicine and all the medical applications. Now that hemp has become a nationwide thing for 7 years, and there's also, you know, a recreational component to it, if that's what you want, now we're a threat to alcohol and other things like that, you know, and so now we're getting it from all sides, because then you got to consider, you know, the big canna industry, these big multi-state operators who, you know, had to go through all of these hoops and spend all this money, you know, to have this sort of a monopoly. It's going to be a monopoly in the state of Alabama, you know, this cartel type environment where only a few people get to be a part of the industry to serve entire states, you know. I think it's pathetic that they would even put out a law that's going to have 37 dispensaries for 67 counties. That's not even one per county. You know, there's going to be people in rural areas who have to drive hours to get to a medical cannabis. I mean, and let's face it, Alabama is not the state where you think, oh, everybody's got plenty of money and time and can take off work and, you know, all the things to go and get their cannabis. It's ridiculous the way our program was put together. And I know that in other states, Mississippi, they have smokable flower. They have multiple right. types of edibles. They have concentrates and vapes, you know, and here's Alabama. You know, we just...
Well, there's a lot of states, except for Louisiana. Louisiana has also banned the farm bill.
Yes,
they have. And the reason why they mm-hmm. banned that was because they were losing money at the dispensaries.
Well, yes, of course. If you don't have to pay a doctor and get a card, yeah.
Right. But my problem with that was the stuff at the dispensaries is being tested by reputable testers.
Yes.
If you look up some of those testers for some of that stuff that you were buying at, like, say, the gas station or whatever, that right. stuff is being tested by non-reputable companies.
Right, of course.
And you got to be careful with that kind of stuff. I mean, my thing is, if it's not sourced right and grown right, like, I don't know if you or have ever smoked cannabis, but cannabis that you smoke and yes. makes you cough a lot,
mm-hmm.
that's because they didn't flush it right. They didn't flush all the stuff they used to grow it with out before they harvested.
That's one of the main reasons I don't like to smoke it. Because I don't like that it makes you cough, and I don't like the way it burns my throat. But you know, a lot of people love it.
The chemicals that are in it. Well, that's because the chemicals that were left in it when they right. didn't flush it during the end of the process.
Yeah.
And see, those are things that people have that have cannabis programs regulate.
Right.
And with the farm bill, it did make a loophole. I was able to get things here because I did move here thinking there was a cannabis program.
Right.
And it did make it available for me. But see, the problem is now I have to outsource through the mail.
Right.
Or go to a different state.
Well, and that's my next question. I mean, you're in Louisiana. You've gotten the first card as a veteran. And mm-hmm. then Alabama passes the medical cannabis bill in 2021. I mean, how did you feel about that? Did you think, great, now I can move back home because I can get this same thing
exactly.
that I'm getting here? I'm going to go home and move back to Coleman. You know, when did you move back home?
Well, I started doing music. I started drumming in 2019,
mm-hmm.
and I was getting really good at the time, and there was guys in Nashville calling, want me to come to Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I want to move home. My mom was having problems. She's now disabled. She mm-hmm. needed help. So I was like, you know, 2022, November came, a time arose, and I said, hey, it's time to go.
Well, and the state was saying, hey, we're going to have medical cannabis by the end of the year.
Right.
Every year since 2021, it's by
right.
the end of the year. They said it this year. I don't see any cannabis.
Well,
do you?
That was what they said in 23. And mm-hmm. so I was like, came in January 23 thinking it was going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Got here, no program.
Right.
And, but, you know, that's about the time that the farm bill and all that had started up and ramped up. So I was
going to the local
smoke shop like anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. I was using the gummies. I was using the, you know, the smokables, the edibles, the concentrates, you know, whatever. I like the concentrates. I have very high PTSD. I
mm-hmm.
have to have a high concentrate. I have high pain from my back.
Yeah.
I have back injuries and stuff. So,
right.
you know, it has to have the high concentrate. So it just knocks it out really quick for me.
Yeah.
When I start having the anxiety problems and stuff like that.
Right.
So, but, I mean, they told me, hey, my mom says, hey, we got a program. Come home, Jason. Please come home. So
right.
I went home.
Right.
And I was lied to by them. And
it
hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Because my family settled Coleman in 1873.
Wow.
My family has deep roots in this state,
mm-hmm.
and for them to do something like that to me, a 6-time war veteran, they took
right.
my meds away.
Right.
They literally took my meds away from me.
Yeah. No,
it
I agree.
It said, "Sorry, you're not grown enough because some guy at a mom and pop, you know, store sold cannabis to a kid."
Allegedly.
And I never heard that story. Allegedly. I
right.
never heard that story. But
yeah.
they're selling down here at the local mom block, you know, alcohol every single day, every weekend. They're selling
right.
vapes to these kids every weekend.
Right.
And no one's saying anything about that. And that is what I'm upset about, being where I am as a grown man.
Right. I think
and
the hypocrisy
saying,
there.
Jason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, you're an adult. You're a voter. You're a taxpayer. You went
right.
off and gave years of your life, and came back broken by that service. But you're not man enough to make your own decisions about what you put in your body, and we're not going to let you have this one thing that actually makes you feel like a functional person. You know, I talked with Will Wisner from Grunt Style, and we talked a lot about veteran suicide. And, you know, there's so many people that you hear these stories of these vets, and they've served their country. They've gone above and beyond what any of the rest of us were willing to do or capable of doing, and they went. And the reason we can sit here and have this conversation right now freely and openly is because of those things that they did in service of this country. And the fact that we have a cannabis program, you know, that we can hopefully one day have a say in, because, you know, I know in Alabama we don't really get to vote for issues, but we can still vote for people and make those decisions. All of those things are because of the service of people like you. And then to have you come back and they give you the head meds and they just tell you to you know, get over yourself. You know, and we're talking about traumatic brain injuries and amputations and you know, all sorts of physical and mental injuries. And they dope you up and put you in. I was an opioid addict for 10 years. So I know the despair that brings. I know the darkness that rides your back with that and how you want to kill yourself, because I did. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk more with Jason Weigel. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, everybody. Tonight we are rounding out our Veterans Month shows with Jason Weigel from Cullman, Alabama. He is a veteran. He qualified for medical cannabis in Louisiana. And then when Alabama passed our medical cannabis program, he decided to pack up and move home, expecting to be able to have a cannabis card here, and has not been able to have that. He supplemented by using hemp products, such as the products that we use at Cannabama. And now they've taken those. So, Jason, before the break, we were talking about, do you feel betrayed? Do any of your veteran buddies that I'm sure you talk about this, do you feel betrayed by the Alabama legislators who can't make this happen? The Medical Cannabis Commission, the people that are suing over the licenses, that's what this all boils down to. A bunch of people applied for those 5 integrated facility licenses, and only 5 will get one, and the losers can't handle being losers. And so they have decided, instead of letting the other guys who got licenses go ahead and get to the business of helping the patients of Alabama, we're going to spend the next 4 or 5 years in court because we didn't get to be the ones. So they're like sore losers. And it doesn't seem like any of the legislators who passed this have been able to help this situation. And then Senator Mousen last session, and I hear this session, is trying to add 10 more. But do you feel betrayed by the state, I should say, not the legislators, but the state, the medical cannabis program, you know, that said, hey, we're going to do this for the people of Alabama, and they have failed miserably?
I want to start by saying, first off, May 17, 2021, Ms. K. Ivey signed the Darian Wesley Alto Hall Compassion Act.
Yes.
I think, first off, she should apologize to him.
who and his mother. His mother, yes.
Pushed for him first.
Right.
I mean, and then all the patients that they promised, PTSD, chronic pain, cancer-related symptoms, epilepsy, panic attacks, depression, et cetera, all those people, all the patients that they promised 4 years ago.
Yes.
That's who they need to be apologizing to.
Right.
They have failed us as patients.
Yep.
100% have failed us.
Right. And well, every citizen has the potential. You and I both know that there are far many more medical conditions that cannabis is good for that maybe don't make that list. But that makes everyone, because everyone has an endocannabinoid system.
Oh,
everyone is a potential patient. Everyone is a potential patient.
I agree 100%. You know, but you got to start small.
Right. Of course.
You got to build for something. And they were supposed to build from this, and they didn't. They failed.
Right. Think and of so where we could be right now if they had implemented it. And by 22, you know, because the law did say after the 1 year mark, they would reassess the demand and possibly add more licenses or let the people with dispensaries add more stores so that would be more available to more people. But they haven't even gotten off the ground. And so, you know, we could be leaps and bounds. We could be having smokable flower like Louisiana did eventually, but we can't get it off the ground.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they not only failed the patients, and then after that, you have people that they failed, like the dispensaries, the transporters, the testers, the processors, the growers.
Yep.
All the people that were in the process that had to stop operations.
Yes.
Lost millions of dollars. All these people.
Yep.
That they're not thinking of you.
Right.
I mean, your businesses. These are the people that they're not thinking about. They're not thinking about the small people of Alabama that are trying to survive.
Right.
There's these people that are up there that are trying to line their pockets even more, and they are disconnected from the world.
Right.
They don't even cook their own food.
Right. Right.
Okay. You told me you had to cook dinner early. They don't even cook their own food. Does Kay Ivey cook her own food? I doubt it.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah, I don't think she.
I doubt.
Yeah, I'm not gonna make a comment there.
so you know, we had a guy in Louisiana, a senator, that said he paid $250,000 a year for groceries. I said, who are you paying to? He owned all the Subways in Louisiana.
Who is he feeding?
He paid two. Exactly, that's what we said. Like, who are you? Wow, $250,000 for groceries, guys?
How many children does this man have?
Exactly, right.
75.
So they're out of touch. They're way out of touch with real Americans.
Yes,
and
no,
they need to get
I agree.
Out, walk around with real Americans, get out in society, get out of your homes, quit being scared. Come out here and live and see how we live.
Well, I think...
And when you do that, I think it'll change your mind about how you make laws, how you write laws.
Right.
Because they're so out of touch with the real world. There is a meth epidemic going on in this state.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't they fight that?
Right.
There's a huge methamphetamines epidemic going on here.
Yep. I just saw a massive bust on Facebook today.
Yes, in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Huge one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think another one recently up in North Alabama somewhere.
And then the fentanyl, fentanyl, and then there's the new drug that's fentanyl and something called xylazine, that's literally rotting people's body parts off and making them zombies. It's really bad, and you know, none of those things have any medical applications or any redeeming qualities, and they are incredibly destructive. I think. They know what they're doing. They do, and they have their incentive. I think the problem is the reason they don't get out and roam around with the common man is because they don't have to. They have enough donor money, and they do what their donors want. When those are corporations and those are special interest groups, like the alcohol lobby. I mean, they are largely to blame for what is happening nationwide. Those senators have been and representatives have been incentivized by their donors. They don't care about the voters.
Right.
And in a state like Alabama.
Well, term limits.
Well,
term limits,
I agree.
And lobbyists, and getting rid of the lobbyists. I
yes.
mean, that's the only way.
And limiting campaign donations. You know, we have an attorney general candidate getting $1 million.
Well, you got the candidates who are all about me.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm going to do this. I'm me. No, it's about the people you represent.
Yes.
It's about the district you represent.
Right. Right.
And that is what. Unfortunately, someone I know very well, Mr. Garland Grudger, is out of contact with.
Well, I agree with you because not long after HB 445 was passed, and I know he voted yes for HB 445, he made a post on Instagram with a wall of liquor, and it said, "Bourbon is proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy." And I thought, well, there you go. That's as much of a confession as you're going to get from a politician. You know, it's incredibly insulting. He's sitting in a fancy room with all these big, expensive bottles of bourbon having a drink. And we're over here going, okay, well, now I'm going to lose everything I have. Make it make sense. He is completely out of touch. Vote for J.R. Bowling, by the way.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Shout out to my friend J.R.
Seeing, I'll be speaking at JR's thing December 13th. So
Nice.
So if anyone wants to come out for that.
Yes, if you're in Coleman County, you need to definitely talk to JR Bowling because he has a very different outlook and he is a very different person. He's a real, actual human being who works and does labor. He's a volunteer firefighter, all sorts of great things, and he's a very, very genuine guy. I've had the privilege of getting to know him really well since he's been on the show.
Awesome.
What would you say, you know, if you had a chance to speak to these legislators, you know, what would you say?
I did six tours.
Don't curse.
I have demons. No, I wouldn't do that.
First off,
I would thank God for letting me speak to him.
Yeah.
Secondly, I would say I had demons that I brought home.
Yes.
For you to have your freedom.
Yes.
All I ask for is relief from those demons. That's it.
Right.
Every single day of my life. That's all I ask for.
Right.
And the only thing, other thing I have to help me with that besides cannabis is music and my family.
Right.
And when you take cannabis away from me, I lose everything around me.
Right.
It's a part of that tripod in my family life.
Right.
And it keeps me stable enough to where I can be normal with my family.
Absolutely.
And so,
yeah. You're a human being. You're a human being. We're all human beings. Stop looking at us as consumers, as numbers, as money. We are human beings.
Do the American thing. Do the right thing. Stop doing the thing for money.
Right.
Do the American thing and do the right thing for the people.
Right. So. Thank you so much, Jason, for being on the show tonight. I really appreciate your honesty. And you know, that's a really personal thing to share, especially in a broad audience. So, you know, I can feel how important this is to you. And I know that, you know, you are being cheated. You are being betrayed. We all are. And I'm so sorry on behalf of the industry that we couldn't find a way to fix this, but we are still trying. But thank you for being here. Y'all follow the Alabama Cannabis Coalition, the Alabama Hemp Trade Association, and Sweet Home Cannabama for information going forward to fight. If you're looking for charity donation ideas this holiday season, Grunt Style Foundation, God bless you, and God bless American Hemp. Good night.